That music is a hint for what's coming up now on this special summer edition of The Hub on Screen as I introduce you to the Emmy Award-winning Australian production designer on the Emmy Award-winning Best TV Drama, Game of Thrones, Deb Reilly. I spoke to Deb fresh from winning her fourth Emmy for Outstanding Production Design on the show. Here she is after I just congratulated her for that win.
Good morning, Jason. Thank you very much.
Now, tell me, how was the night? I know you received your award at a separate awards ceremony, but what was the highlight of the Emmys ceremony that we all saw televised back here for you?
I thoroughly enjoyed Henry Winkler's speech, actually, that kicked off the awards. When he got to the stage, he said that he'd written his speech 43 years ago, and he'd been given the advice that if he just stayed at the table long enough, eventually someone would recognise him. So I thought that was great. Somebody who grew up in happy days, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so did I. Did you sit anywhere near Teddy Perkins? Donald Glover came as Teddy Perkins from Atlanta. Did you?
Do you know he was a couple of rows in front?
Oh, did you notice?
Okay.
And the marriage proposal, of course. Did it
absolutely.
Take everyone by surprise?
Well, we all stood up. Yes. The audience was on its feet.
Okay. Look, let's talk about your award and your work. First of all, for people who don't know, what does a production designer actually do?
The production designer is responsible for the look of the show in terms of the sets and the props. We deal directly with the producers and the directors. We read the scripts. We work out what environment those scenes are going to be set in. So scouting locations, working out the exterior work and how a location will have to be changed to suit a scene, or building a set entirely on stage. And that encompasses all the work of the carpenters and plasterers and set dressers and painters and propsmen, and a huge team of people are all involved in the work of the art department. It's a great place to be.
Now, can you give us a little bit of background? How did you come to this huge gig? This must be so far at least the job of your career. But obviously you start in Australia, you'd worked on feature films. You'd also worked on the closing ceremony of the Sydney Olympic Games, I understand. So tell me about that trajectory, how you end up with this job, on Game of Thrones.
My story is remarkable and unbelievable. I studied architecture first in Queensland, and then I went down to NIDA and did their stage design course. By the time I started in film, I was on The Matrix and Moulin Rouge, and I always consider there's sort of three pivotal moments in my career that if you could sort of link the dots to it, they lead to Game of Thrones. One of them is Moulin Rouge, where I learned how to build sets on stage. One of them was when I worked on Alejandro González Iñárritu's 21 Grams, and there I really learned how to work on location. And on the Sydney Olympics, it taught me not to be afraid of scale. And if you add all of those together, you get what it was like to be on Game of Thrones.
Well, a scale must be something that is unprecedented on this show. I mean, just tell me about how would you compare the workload and the scale on a season of Game of Thrones? I guess you could compare with a feature film, even an ambitious feature film. How do they compare?
We never ever spoke on Game of Thrones about what size screen it was going to be seen on. We always considered that we were doing feature-style quality just on a television schedule. So what we would be doing was working incredibly fast. And on a feature film, you might have maybe 90 shoot days, 100 shoot days, if you're lucky, on a big budget feature. On Game of Thrones, we were 200, 250, and by the end of season 8, we were more like 300 shoot days. And so we were working with multiple units at the same time, like multiple shoot units in different countries at the same time. So it was unbelievable. By the end of the show, it was very common that we would have three units shooting at once, which meant that we also had three sets working at once. It was amazing.
I want to play a brief excerpt now. From the first season, I think you worked on the show. You come on in season 4, don't you? And
yes.
This takes place in one of the film's iconic locations. And we'll get to your inspiration for this location and others. This is the audience chamber of Meereen.
Yes.
I have loved you.
Love? Love? How can you say that to me? Any other man and I would have you executed, but you, I do not want you in my city, dead or alive. Go back to your masters in King's Landing. Collect your pardon, if you can.
Nerys, please.
Don't ever presume to touch me again or speak my name. You have until dusk to collect your things and leave this city. If you're found in Marine past break of day, I'll have your head thrown into Slaver's Bay.
Yes, some dark shenanigans happened there and in other locations. But tell me about, let's start with the Audience Chamber of Marine, for example. I know that you've already spoken about your formation as an architect. How much does this influence your work and your, how much does it inspire the way you design different locations?
It's fundamental for me. And I only studied the first 3 years of architecture, which gave me a good grounding in the history of architecture and in the basic understanding of space and the psychology of space. And for the story arc of Daenerys in Game of Thrones, it was really interesting because up until the point that I arrived on the show, we'd only seen her in like primitive shelters or in camps of sorts and, you know, out in the desert. And it was wonderful to be able to give her a throne to sit on, even though it was only a bench, but in a big monolithic space inside what was to be a pyramid city. It was a great challenge and something that the Season 4 Art Department really enjoyed sinking our teeth into and put us on the map in a way. It meant that we had arrived. As you can imagine, when I first turned up on the show, how nervous I was. So
what was
once
it,
that set was built, it was a good thing.
What was your real-life architectural reference for that particular location?
For Marine, I used a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright's Mayan Revival period, and I had visited some houses in Los Angeles years ago as a tourist, the Hollyhock House in LA and the Ennis House. And so I had an understanding of the work that he was doing. And so when I was looking for something that was reminiscent of pyramids, but something that could also feel domestic, Frank Lloyd Wright was the obvious place to turn. And quite honestly, working on a film schedule, you've got to land on ideas as fast as possible.
The House of Black and White is another, I think it enters into Game of Thrones in season 5. This is a huge sort of monolithic type of structure. What was that influenced by?
You know, I loved working on the House of Black and White. That was one of my favourites. There's some stone-cut caves in India called the Ellora Caves, which provided a lot of the textural influence. But I had visited the Temple of the 10,000 Buddhas in Hong Kong many, many years earlier. And the thing that struck me about that temple was just how the Buddhas themselves were built into the architecture of the space. And so it was really interesting to me to think about the faces of the dead in the Hall of Faces as being so vast in number that they had to be built into the fabric of the architecture.
And when you say build, you know, a lot of us might think in this day and age these are CGI representations of, you know, bricks and mortar architecture, but you're actually building them.
Yes, and what was fantastic about Game of Thrones, certainly from somebody who loves to build things, is that a lot of our visual effects money has to go towards building fantastic dragons and building believable dragons. So any space that we would build as high as possible so that all of the characters could be kept within it and kept what we would call in camera. So the camera could capture as much right there at that point as possible, and then minimal visual effects were being done so that the episodes can be compiled as quickly as possible and, you know, the visual effects were get to what they really needed most, which, you know, is the dragons. And obviously for big set extensions and big establishing shots, we needed their help for increasing armies and that sort of thing. But mostly we would build to about 35 feet if we could.
Wow. And on the sound stages in Belfast, I think, where they shot the Titanic?
Yes. Exactly.
Wow. So the size is definitely there. You're going to shed a tear when you have to finally strike all these sets. They're not going to stay around forever, are they? After the show's finished, that's it.
Well, I finished the show a couple of months ago now, and in the vernacular of the show, my watch ended.
Yeah.
And, it was a really sad day. On the other hand, we did the best work that we possibly could and we told the story that the guys wanted to tell. And I was so incredibly proud to be part of it. You can't, it's so much more than anybody could ever wish for to be on a show like Game of Thrones. And as difficult as it was and, you know, the long hours and all that sort of thing, it was an honour to be a part of it. And we all felt that way. So it was so difficult to say goodbye to all of the crew. That was not a day I was looking forward to at all. And it was every bit as heartbreaking as you can imagine.
Well, Deborah Riley, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. Congratulations again on what is your fourth Emmy for Game of Thrones. Thanks very much for joining me on the Hub on Screen.
Thanks for having me, Jason. I really appreciate it.
That was Deborah Riley, Australian production designer, now based in LA, who at the time of recording that interview in September had just collected her fourth Emmy for her work on Game of Thrones.